Well, here's a real treat for you now. You get to chat with, ask a question of Eric von Däniken, well-known author, of course, his latest work, Odyssey of the Gods, and of course you know him as Chariots of the Gods as well, and we'll be back with Eric and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. In a moment, you're going to be chatting with Eric von Däniken, author, of course, of Odyssey of the Gods, Chariots of the Gods, Twilight of the Gods, and so many other works, and we'll get your phone calls all lined up as well. He is live in Switzerland, and we had to take a little break with him, and we're going to get him right back on for you. And let us grab him now, and we'll go to his call. Let us go to Brooke in Newport, Rhode Island. Brooke, go ahead, east of the Rockies.
Hello.
Hey, Eric, welcome to have you. Go ahead, Brooke.
It is indeed an honor and a pleasure to speak to the great Eric von Däniken. I just wanted to say that one of your guests a couple months ago, Dr. Jack Pruitt, who wrote the book The Great Deception, totally supports everything Eric von Däniken states in his book, and that I also recently read a book called The Gospel of Judas, in which Judas actually says to Jesus, "I know who you are and where you come from. You are from the immortal realm of Barbello." In other words, Jesus was an extraterrestrial.
A lot of people have theorized that. Eric, how about you?
Well, you know, my extraterrestrials, the gods in antiquity, this story happened many thousand years before Jesus. The Jesus story is about 2,000 years old, and we know more or less what happened because we have the Gospels. We have the four evangelists talking about Jesus. And in my eye, Jesus was not an extraterrestrial. Why should some extraterrestrials bring down a wonderful personality like Jesus? And what are the humans doing with him? They kill him. They don't understand him. It would be a sacrifice practically for nothing. Of course, I am very, very respectfully handle the personality of Jesus. And maybe he had a knowledge which other people did not have at his time. But in my personal eyes, he was not an extraterrestrial.
Well, you know, too, some people have theorized that there were some kind of extraterrestrial intervention. You mentioned earlier Ezekiel's wheel, Eric. Something
That's
happened
true.
Then. Yeah.
That's true, but this is long time before the Jesus story. Jesus,
yes,
as I said, 2,000 years ago. Ezekiel and all the rest, Enoch, for example, Ezekiel, according to the Bible, would be about more or less 600 years before Jesus Christ. Other stories, like the stories of the prophet of Enoch, or some writings of Moses, are even 4,000 or 5,000 years. Enoch would be about 14,000 years ago. So it's not comparable to the time of Jesus.
All right, we're an international phone calling talk show. And we'll go to Switzerland. We got a call from Johann in St. Gallen in Switzerland. Johann,
that's wonderful.
Welcome to the show. You're on with Eric von Däniken.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be on with both of you. I have a question for Eric. I was at the 1978 convention of the Ancient Astronaut Society in Chicago, at which time I speculated that there was a dark star out there because of the precession of the equinoxes. And in recent times, over the last 33 years, scientists have found that the sun is traveling in a curved path. Now, I was wondering whether Eric von Däniken thought that we were actually, with our sun and the rest of the solar system, traveling around Nemesis, which was discovered in 1983 by Jerry Nudgebauer.
You see, the story is that our satellites and our modern astronomy finds and detects practically every month new strange bodies out there behind Pluto. So in some 20 years ago, we thought it's all empty out there. In the meantime, we know it's not empty. Behind Pluto, there are some hundreds of strange objects which we have not identified today. One of them may be this Nemesis. I really don't know. I'm not the astronomer, but I know we have strange objects out there.
Eric, what did you think of the late Zechariah Sitchin's theories?
Loved him. We were good friends. We had wonderful discussions together. I did, of course, not agree with everything he was suggesting, as he did not agree with everything I was suggesting. But he had wonderful stories. He made great translations out of Sumerian writings.
Yeah.
And I really, really regret that he passed away so early.
Well, 90 years old, though. 90 years old.
Oh, 90 years, okay.
Yeah.
I'm in the meantime nearly 77.
But you know, nowadays, nowadays that could be early. You know, people are going longer. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Don, you're with us. Go ahead, Don.
Hi, guys. Eric, you're just a teenager. First, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas, they all seem to have common similarities with the Egyptians, the Phoenicians, people like that. Why isn't there more satellite imaging being done in the Yucatan Peninsula? And if you could also answer me a question, if you've heard of those statues in the Mideast, they're just now discovering that they date to 12,000 B.C.
And in Turkey.
Before I let you go, Halloween lights went up October 1st. And how's your coincidence meter hanging there?
Coincidence meter, it's gone. You know that.
I did not understand everything. I'm sorry, because it's a lack of my English. But anyhow, there are definitely connections between Central America and between the old world, let's say Greece, Egypt. Because in Central America, we have the so-called Chilam Balam books. These are books written down in the 17th and 18th century, so after the Spanish conquerors. But in these books, the Maya priests explain us what happened some thousands of years in the past. So all through the Chilam Balam books have, so to say, new paper. Their content is very, very old. And some of these Chilam Balam books tell us the story what happened thousands of years ago. There was a destruction. There was a great flood. There were gods coming down. And the same thing we can read in the other part of the world within the books of Plato. He describes these destructions, many destructions of the world, not only one. He describes great flood. It's absolutely comparable with the Chilam Balam books in Central America and with some of the books of Plato. So where is this common knowledge coming from? It must have been a common knowledge because the whole planet all around knew it some thousands of years ago.
Yeah, I think so too. What an incredible time period that would have been. Wouldn't you have loved to have lived in the ancient days, Eric, just to be a witness to this?
Well, if I had a time machine, I would be happy to go back to the time of the prophet Enoch, around 14,000 B.C.
That would be the moment you'd want to go back to, huh?
Absolutely. That's the point where everything happened.
The Chariot of the Gods, of course, highlighted the Nazca lines in Peru. Those lines are still there. Those, I think, are one of the marvels of this planet. How about you?
You see, I have written a whole book about Nazca line, and I really know Nazca perfectly. I know the whole literature about Nazca. I know what archaeology says about Nazca. And I'm sorry to say, Nazca is still a mystery. Nazca
sure
is not solved. Of course, the Indian, the culture, the Indians in Nazca, they made some of these lines. Of course, the Indians made some of these gigantic figures in the ground, like the ape or the spider or things. But before all this started, long before all this started, there were extraterrestrials in Nazca. Now, to land, you do not need an airstrip. That's not necessary. They would land with other technical possibility. But they have done something on Nazca. I suggest they have searched there for some raw material, for some sort of energy. And they were watched by the Indians. The Indians could not understand what was going on, what these gods were doing. And later, when the so-called gods disappeared, now the Indians started to create lines and figures and so on. But the beginning of the mystery of Nazca had to do with extraterrestrials.
And do you think they were messages, signs, welcome signs? What do you think they were for?
No. I really still don't understand what the Nazca lines in the beginning were. But to my knowledge, because I was so many times there, they have covered some sort of raw material. They needed energy. They have not left the sign. The sign were made by the humans. The humans made gigantic signs in the ground, so big that they can be seen only from the air. But this were signs by the humans, not by the extraterrestrials. The extraterrestrials were there, by the way, also with mythology. They again say the same story, which we know from Lake Titicaca, from today's Bolivia. They say that some gods descended, God Viracocha, etc., introduced man, helped man, and so on.
Okay, next up we go to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Boy, your Packers are on fire, Steve. Go ahead.
Holy mackerel, George. Long time no here. Oh, my God. And Mr. Von Daniken, it is
yes.
A pleasure. I've been reading all your books since I was 10 years old. I'm 47.
You're 47. Okay, we still have about 30 years of difference.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, man. I've been on fire since... I remember when I was a kid, just real quick thing. I grew up in a Roman Catholic neighborhood, and my neighbor's mom went ballistic when he had Chariots of Fire in the book. And she basically chastised him. Oh, yeah, this is sacrilegious and all that stuff. But anyhow, a few questions, but I'll try to keep it as short and simple here as possible. Okay, you're familiar with Richard Hoagland's work, you know, and the artificial satellites that he's found around Mars and Saturn.
Yes, I'm familiar. I read about it.
Okay, and Michael Cremo's belief that,
Michael Cremo, he's a perfect, absolutely wonderful books of Michael Cremo.
You know, and he actually, you know, not just the fact that, and I'm a firm believer that we've been visited, but I mean, is it possible that we were so advanced? I mean, after all, the Hopis talk about five different Earth ages. Is it possible that we were so advanced that we were, you know, on a like maybe even keel basis with the rest of these, these extraterrestrials that are coming here, that we were at that advanced at one point, that would explain all the different, bizarre monuments stuff that we had at one point in time, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, like our Earth was destroyed five times over, and now we're first coming back to that type of technology again. I mean, what's your
of course knowledge? You can never exclude that possibility. It is quite possible that some thousands and thousands of years ago there were a high advanced civilization on our own planet, and it was our own forefathers who were quietly developed. But this does not exclude the visit of extraterrestrials. At that time, some extraterrestrials definitely have visited the Earth. You know, we have written traditions in ancient India, or again in the Book of Enoch. Now, in some cases, the humans ask these so-called gods, where do you come from? And nobody says, we come from the Earth. We come, for example, from Atlantis, or we come from a faraway continent. They all say, we come from the stars. So even if we had a high advanced technology, our forefathers, we still were visited by extraterrestrials and influenced by them.
We sure were. Okay, let's go to Palm Springs, California. Jack, you're on with Eric Von Daniken. Go ahead.
Sure. Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Eric.
All right. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm sitting in Switzerland. It's a wonderful day. It's around 10:30 in the morning.
Well, I'm happy to know that. I have a question for you.
Yes.
These extraterrestrials, are they mortal or they're immortal? And the other question is, how do you believe the pyramids were built? Thank you.
Well, the first question I did not have clearly.
Were they mortal?
Are they mortal?
Yeah.
Yes, they are mortal, but not in our aging. So we die, we humans, we die with about 100 years, 120 at least. But the extraterrestrials, they live maybe 1,000 years or so. This is time dilatation. That's a complicated story. They will die at some day, probably. But we don't know when. And concerning the Great Pyramid, this is an endless story. According to archaeology, the Great Pyramid was created or made by Cheops. Cheops was a pharaoh about 2,500 BC. But according to Arabian traditions, and there are many of these traditions, all of this story is nonsense. The Great Pyramid was made about 14,000 years BC by a king with the name of Saurit. The Arabian tradition called him Saurit. And they say Saurit is the same as the Hebrew community calls Enoch. So we have again Enoch. Enoch disappeared with the fiery chariot into the sky. And Enoch had a son. His son was Methuselah. And before Enoch disappeared, he gave all his writings to his son Methuselah and told him, keep all these writings for the future generation of mankind after the great flood. So Methuselah was the constructor, the real, of the Great Pyramid. And under the Great Pyramid, we should still find today some libraries, some books, the books of Enoch. We have not found them until today. So according to these stories, it was not Cheops 2,500 years ago who created the pyramid. It was long time ago, and it was done with the technological help of extraterrestrials.
Eric, what do you find is one of the better movers of your books these days? Amazon.com, bookstores, what do you prefer?
Well, I personally really don't know. I'm just happy if some humans buy my books, not because of money. Of course, we all need money to pay our taxes and all this stuff, and I have never become a rich man. But I am happy if people read these books, discuss the books, they come up with new ideas, they write me, they are part of creating a new science, and we need a new science. Some American universities should start with it, because this is also incredibly interesting. The old traditions, the knowledge, Stone Age, that we should start with the new science. So it's the help of the readers who creates a change in thinking.
Well, it sure does. Let's take one more quick call before the break, and we'll come back then with final calls. Go ahead, Mike, in Covington, Louisiana.
Hey, George, always a pleasure. And thanks, Mr. Von Donneken, I cannot tell you what an honor it is to speak with you.
Thank you.
My question is, I wanted your opinion on the theory that extraterrestrial visitors are, in fact, an evolved form of humanity from the future.
All right. Are they future travelers from this planet, Eric?
Yeah, but, you know, concerning the future, I only know the extraterrestrials who were here in the past. They will return in the future, maybe next year, maybe in the next 20 years, but they definitely will return. They promised it to our ancestors. So future, nobody knows what the future brings. They will come, and they will be some kind of shock on our planet. That's why we should prepare for this possibility.
Are they time travelers, though, Eric?
You cannot exclude it, but I personally don't know.
All right. Stay with us. Eric Von Daniken, our special guest tonight on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back in just a moment, we'll take final phone calls with him. His website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now. If you need to reach me by email, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Well, on our next Coast to Coast show, we're going to be talking about a glimpse of heaven, the remarkable world of spirituality, and also the mystery of deathbed visions. Make sure you're part of that program. And also just circle October 31st, Monday night, Ghost to Ghost, right here on Coast to Coast AM. When we come right back, final phone calls with Eric Von Daniken on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Eric Von Daniken. We'll take your final calls. Eric, also, I just want to congratulate you on the work you've done over all these years, bringing us these incredible stories, getting our minds to wonder and think about the possibilities of extraterrestrial visitation. You have done a really remarkable job.
Well, thank you very much, George.
Let's go now to final calls. Let's go to Victor. He's truck driving somewhere in California. Hey, Victor, go ahead.
Hi, Eric. Hi, George.
Hey.
Question for you. Do you think the answers have already been uncovered in the pyramids? Thought Eos has found them. However, it's not the Egyptians' favor, so it's been kept the entire secret, and we may never know.
Unfortunately, yes, this is true. We know that in the Great Pyramid and behind the Great Pyramid, there are more rooms, so more chambers, more shafts. And this is known to Egyptology in Cairo. But it does not go to the public. I don't know why they are hiding it, but it's true.
But it would not be in the Egyptians' favor, so they will hide it.
Well, I mean, we have a political disaster at the moment in Egypt, and also the Department of Antiquity will change. New heads are coming there, new bosses. So I hope that within the next few months, at least, they will change their politicy so that we understand, they teach us, they tell us more what they have found inside the Great Pyramid. There are definitely mysteries. You see, just a few years ago, they have found a lake deep beneath the Great Pyramid. A real lake with clear water. It was not going to public. I was down at the lake. I was there. I photographed it. And inside the lake, there is a sarcophagi. So all these things should come to the public. But for some reasons, they hide it. I don't understand why.
What will be some of the mysteries of the future that are unraveled, Eric? What do you think? What's out there that we haven't truly investigated yet?
We will find, sooner or later, more ancient libraries, books which have been written thousands of years ago. We will find them in Central America. We will find some of them in Ecuador, in South America. We will find some of them beneath the Great Pyramid. And this will change the world again. And then, as next in the future, we will have contact with extraterrestrials. Probably it will start by radio emissions, by wave, by radios. And later, maybe in the next 20 years, extraterrestrials will come up and show up here, and this will shock the world.
Okay, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Mike's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mike, go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Hi. My call.
Sure.
I've talked to you before. It's been some time. It's nice to talk to you again. Mr. Von Daniken, it's an honor to speak with you, sir. I find your work fascinating. And as the fellow that called earlier from Wisconsin had talked about his family being very religious, I have the same thing. I have always felt that we have evolved basically from off-planet stock. And, of course, some of my family were very religious. You know, and they would look at me like, that's not true. But I definitely believe it is, and I believe we've been visited and still are. One of my main question to you, sir, is do you believe that there's any connection with the fantastic advancements in technology that we've had over the past, say, 50 to 60 years? Is there extraterrestrial involvement in this?
I really don't know, but I would definitely not exclude this. We have a fantastic technological evolution in the past 20 years. Now, I don't know where it comes from. Maybe it's really just out of our brain. It's our genius brain of the scientists, of the engineers and so. And maybe there is a help from a knowledge which I don't know the source. I cannot answer the question positively.
All right, Mike, thank you so much. We've got Donnie now in Ironton, Ohio. First-time caller. Hi, Donnie. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you.
Hi.
It's an honor to speak to both of you. My question was about the Nephilim, and I wanted to know if you could tell me anything about that.
Well, the Nephilim, their name comes from Sumerian sources thousands of years ago, and it was Zachariah Sitchin, the great American author. In his books, The 12th Planet and the continuing books, he has come up with the word Nephilim, because if you translate some of the old Sumerian names of the Sumerian gods, or the so-called gods, one of the names is the Nephilim. And the Nephilim were definitely extraterrestrials. You know, in an ancient text, they always speak about the gods. In reality, there are no gods. There is only one god. Gods, in plural, do not exist. So in ancient time, our forefathers believed that extraterrestrials are the gods. And one of them were the group of the Nephilim.
You believe that there's going to be a visitation on or around December 21st next year, 2012, right?
I don't know about this. I know that we have references in old histories. We know that the gods, the so-called gods, promised to return. I know exactly what's happening to the Maya calendar. I have written it down in my book, Twilight of the Gods. But I could not say for sure next year, 2012, on the 23rd December, these extraterrestrials will return. You can never be sure of the date. It's a question of calculating. It's a question of the calendar. When did the calendar start? We cannot even calculate directly into our Christian calendar. You say today we count the year 2011 since the birth of Jesus Christ. But young Christianity didn't even know at what date, what year Jesus Christ was born. So there are some years in between, so you cannot make an exact calculation. One thing is sure, they will return. They promised it. This can be proven. At what date? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Lakewood, Ohio, it's Jim's turn east of the Rockies. Jim, good to have you with us.
Yes, hi. You know what, Eric, I just want to ask you something. You've got a brilliant mind as far as like time and space. Do you think there's a possibility that maybe our solar system or just a certain part of it was swallowed by a black hole and we are on the inside of the black hole looking out?
Well, I don't know. I hear this for the first time. It's a fascinating idea. You should ask one of our astronomers or astrophysicists about these questions. I really don't know. I cannot answer it. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, thank you anyway.
All right. Thank you, too, as well. And they could be coming, Eric, from multiple solar systems, don't you think?
Of course. Nothing is impossible. The universe is full of forms of life. And there are many planets who are similar to our planet Earth. So they would have come from different planetary systems out there, but definitely not from our own planetary system. They have come from far away.
All right. We've got Seattle, Washington. Jasmine, welcome. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to say to Eric, I am so, so, so happy I like, finally talked to you or ask you a question, because I hope just like one day I can attain just like half the knowledge that you have. I mean, you're so amazing. But I just have like a question is just like about the graves. I'm just wondering, like, do you think that the reason that they take people is because like maybe they're trying to create another like version of like when the Anunnaki were here or something? Because I'm just like always just fascinated about why the graves would take people. And do you believe there are other races of aliens?
But you mean they take people in our days?
Yes.
These abduction cases.
These abductions, yeah. Okay. Of course I read about it. Of course I knew Professor Dr. John Mark. And I know we had definitely cases of abductions. What the reason is, well, they know. I don't know.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Do you think they're going on, Eric?
These abductions?
Yeah.
I think yes. From time to time, they need some sort of information, be it about our consciousness, be it about our genes, be it about the metabolism, our corp. I don't know. They are scientists, and from time to time, they knew some information. They want to test some things. This sounds, I know, absolutely weird and crazy. And normal thinking people say abductions, this is ridiculous. Why should extraterrestrials use such a form of technology? But the case is we have certain cases of abduction. This is a proven fact, and the one who doesn't know about it should read the books. For example, Professor Dr. John Mack, about his he was even a Harvard University professor, about abductions.
Let's go to Michael now in Miami, Florida. You're on with Eric Von Dedekin. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Mike.
Pleasure to be on your show. I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
Hi. Hi, how are you, Eric? A pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
My question to you is the following, sir. Do you believe that perhaps these so-called extraterrestrials, which, for the record, I have seen with my bare eyes, and I do happen to know that they do exist, and I do know for a fact that they do visit the planet and stuff like that, Do you believe that these are the fallen angels, the ones that were casted out of heaven, and they've been hanging, they've been roaming the earth for so long that they've been able to acquire a lot of knowledge, and perhaps they have a plan of deceiving us?
This is an interesting point you do pick up here. In antiquity, again, and handed down by the prophet Enoch, we have so-called fallen angels. Even in the Bible, you find so-called fallen angels. Now the question comes up, what is an angel? Normally, the believer in God, like I am one, God is something absolutely incomprehensible, something great, something timeless. And we are taught as children, when we die, we will come into the heaven. Heaven is the place of God. Be near to God means to be absolutely happy, have no problems anymore. Now, how could it be that in heaven, in a place of happiness, there is an opposition? They are fallen angels. There is an angel called Lucifer who goes to the throne of God and says, we don't serve you anymore. So how can this be? So heaven is not heaven as a place after death. Heaven is a mother spaceship. Heaven was something else. And angels are not angels, not spirits, not coming down in form of spirits. Angels were extraterrestrials. We just have to work to change the words, the term, and we change our knowledge. And this is important. So fallen angels do not exist, but extraterrestrials who had a mutiny, who were then came down and who were called fallen angels, they do exist. If they are still here today, I don't know.
All right, we'll go to Los Angeles. Jaime, welcome to the show. Hi, Jaime.
Hello, George. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Hello, Eric.
Hi, hi.
It's a pleasure to talking to you. I just had just two questions. One of them is, do you think maybe extraterrestrials experimented with dinosaurs, and after that they decided to end them and begin a new race, which is us? Or what are your thoughts on that?
If the dinosaurs would not have died out, then our planet today would be a planet of dinosaurs. So we still don't know what was the reason for the dying out of the dinosaurs. There are many theories, like meteorites and so on, but nothing is sure. Sure is, we had dinosaurs, the planet was full of it, and they do not exist anymore. They are killed by some reasons. And it is not impossible that this was done on purpose by bacteria, by a virus, by a sort of influenza, which was created by extraterrestrials, because they didn't want the planet of dinosaurs, they want the planet of human beings. Means we are their offsprings. The gods created the humans according to their image.
All right. So do you think that we'll be next to end?
I don't get the question.
No, one more. I didn't hear you, Jaime.
Do you think, like, they might do that to us? Or it would
to
take,
us? To us? No. No, the human race will definitely survive. We are the offsprings of the extraterrestrials, and nobody will kill us. They just teach us and help us.
Well, let's hope they do, Eric.
Yeah.
Do you think some of the races that visit us are evil?
Of course, some of them were evil. There was a fight between themselves, so some of them were evil. As today, we have good humans and we have bad humans. But in generality, the bigger part were good to mankind, were teachers.
Most of the time. There is no doubt about that. When you put the Chariots of the Gods together, did you expect it to be as much of a blockbuster hit as it is?
I knew, because I was educated as a Catholic, and I knew I would create a storm. But I didn't expect that it would go so big in so many languages, create such a discussion all around the world, and influence so many scientists and so many movie makers and so on. I did not expect that. I expected a storm and critics, which in reality happened. I was criticized quite a bit.
Let's go to Lathrop, California. Hey, Ray, go ahead. You're on with Eric Von Daniken.
Yes, sir. I want to know if he's visited Machu Picchu in the Andes.
Of course, I have been many times in Machu Picchu.
Okay.
In Machu Picchu, you have to differentiate between two different times. There was a megalithic Machu Picchu, which are the old gigantic block stones, and later there was the Inca Machu Picchu, which we know how the Inca were building their walls.
Well, the
and about the megalithic Machu Picchu, we know nothing.
Go ahead, Ray.
The reason I'm asking is that I saw some panoramic video of it taken not too long ago, and it looked to me like there was a airplane hangar, a stone airplane hangar, a big building off to one side.
Like, no, I don't know about this.
Huh.
Well, strange. Okay, yeah. Thanks, Ray. What do you think about the Vimanas and flying machines of the past, Eric? Did you ever look into that?
The Vimanas came out of old Indian literature,
yeah,
at least 6,000 years ago. And the Vimanas were flying machines. There are different types of Vimanas, not only one type. That's like today, we have different types of aircrafts. We have helicopters, we have military aircraft, etc. So in ancient India, different types of Vimanas were clearly described. You can clearly prove it. You find them in my books. Now, everything on Earth, every technology on Earth has to have a certain evolution. Evolution starts slowly, so a technological evolution, and then creates more sophisticated stuff. Now, these Vimanas, they are here from one day to another. There is no technological evolution on Earth. And it is said in the old Indian text that these Vimanas were coming from the mother spaceships. So today, we will compare it around the Earth. We have a gigantic mother spaceship. By the way, in ancient India, they write about three different mother spaceships. And out of these mother spaceships, the smaller vehicles have come down. They were called Vimanas. Some of our forefathers, some of the humans, were taken up to the mother spaceship by the Vimanas. So Vimanas can clearly be proven.
Excellent. Eric, thank you again. Eric von Däniken, live in Switzerland with us, just one of the great minds of all times. And his new book is called Odyssey of the Gods, The History of Extraterrestrial Contact in Ancient Greece. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.